Chapter 3. Shen Safe House, Tripoli. Lane finished packing her carry-on bag and checked the spacious, well-appointed room one last time for anything she might have missed. The house would have been considered luxurious by anyone's standards, but especially when compared to Shen's usual base of operations. The Libyan businessman who offered his residence as their base for rescuing Manira would be returning the next day, and she wanted to be long gone before then. The fewer people that recognized her, the better. With the increase in sex trafficking they'd been seeing, she had a feeling she'd be back in the region before long. Hamid's surgery had gone well. Now stable and resting in a hotel room a few kilometers away, the Shen operative would be transferred to a medical facility in Spain for the remainder of his convalescence. The prognosis for recovering the use of his left arm and shoulder was good, although it would take considerable time in therapy. Lou suggested an extended beach vacation, assuring him that relaxation would be the best thing for him. Lane grabbed her bag to leave, but then remembered she hadn't replied to Janice's message from the day before and set it back on the bed. She thought she might be able to get away to see her old friend, but that was before she learned that she could snag a seat on a military transport due out of Libya that afternoon. The thought of going home had won out over sticking around in the hot desert. "Hey there," she wrote. "Much as I'd love to see you, I've got a ride out of here that I can't refuse. Let me know when you're back in Vancouver and I'll come visit for a few days. We'll talk smack about old boyfriends, go hiking and drink wine. Lane." Lane had met Janice during the early days of the U.S. war in Afghanistan. Lane had been on a job, and Janice had been working for a non-governmental organization that provided emergency medical care to civilians. Over the years, they'd kept in touch, but because of their wildly divergent schedules, had only managed one face-to-face meeting. She pressed send as memories of Afghanistan came flooding back. Considered the agency's premier operative, Lane had been sent to eliminate one of the country's most ruthless warlords with strong ties to the Taliban. The operation went as planned until she arrived at the extraction point. Someone had tipped off the local Taliban sympathizers, and they captured her translator who'd gone ahead to secure the site. They tortured him until he broke, and then dragged his body through the streets behind a dilapidated pickup truck as a warning to others. Dressed in a burqa, Lane was able to elude the gunman that surrounded the safe house and then get a message to Eric, her boss, but not before she'd seen what they'd done. Though she didn't know it at the time, that job had been the beginning of the end for Lane. Over the next few years, each mission would cost her more and more emotionally, leading to her decision to leave. Her last job for the agency involved a betrayal so deep, the nightmares still haunted her. An hour later, at an airstrip outside Tripoli, Lane stood in line, waiting to be processed to leave, when her phone vibrated. She checked the screen. It was a message from Janice. The timestamp told her she'd sent it several hours ago, a message lost in cyberspace again. Lane figured with the spotty reception she'd encountered in-country that she'd been lucky to send and receive messages at all. "I'm sorry we weren't able to meet this time," Janice wrote. "The idea of leaving Libya sounds really good right now, and I can't blame you for going. Things here are sketchy. Although the camp has recovered from an accidental bombing that occurred several months ago, the hospital is still vulnerable to attack. Dr. Evans refuses to move the facilities to a safer location. His reasoning is that people won't have as far to go to receive treatment. But what if those people are killed? All I can do is hope and do my work. Safe travels. Jay." Lane stared at the screen for a moment. Janice's tone had changed from upbeat to bleak in the course of 24 hours. Had something happened to make her outlook change so drastically? The line began to move forward to the last checkpoint. She lifted her bag and moved along with the others. "I should find out what's bothering her." "That sounds pretty bleak," she typed. "What's going on? Something I can do?" She pressed send and glanced at the phone of the guy standing next to her. Breaking news on one of the 24-hour news outlets showed images of a recent bombing. "Where is that?" she asked him, nodding at the screen. "The border, near Egypt," he answered. "Looks like the assholes shelled a refugee camp." She stiffened. "What news site are you on?" "BBC. Lane brought up the story on her phone. Less than an hour before, the terrorist group Izzeldin had shelled Janice's refugee camp, destroying their field hospital. There were no reports of casualties. Yet. Lane had looked up from her phone to see that the line had moved on without her. She switched to a dial pad and tapped in the number for Lou's burner phone. Still in country, he'd keep the same number until he left. Lou Stokes. Lou, it's Lane. I'm taking a detour. I need to get to the Egyptian border. What the hell are you talking about? I thought you were going home. Iz Aldeen just shelled a refugee camp where a friend of mine is working. I've got to make sure she's all right. Jesus. And you want to go there? Do I need to remind you that you just finished an operation for Shen? You've got to be exhausted. Lou sighed. How many casualties? None reported yet. We were supposed to meet somewhere between Tripoli and the camp, but I opted to head home. Which is the sensible thing to do. Lane rolled her eyes. I just called to let you know that I won't be on the flight this afternoon. She scanned the room for a likely contact to hire her own transportation. Lou sighed again. Give me half an hour. I should be able to find you something. You're a peach, Lou. Lane ended the call and texted Janice. Heard about the bombing. Are you all right? I'm working on finding transpo there. Stay safe. She slipped the phone into her pocket. It was going to be a long wait.